Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Merle Exit. Oh, yes, it's kind of cool here in New York City. It's 7 p.m. on my time. We have an interesting show. I have Jake Zamansky coming on. Yes, he's going to be skiing in the Olympics, and he's going to talk to us about how he got in there. Jake, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Merle.
Hey, Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
So tell me, how did you get into this? How did this happen?
Starting as a little kid, I grew up around Aspen, Colorado, and my parents were both skiers, and I just fell in love with it as a little kid and kind of been at it ever since. I've been on the U.S. ski team for 10 years now, and this will be my first Olympics. I qualified through the World Cups that we do all over. One of the races was in Beaver Creek in December.
And what I saw you on the TV. How was that? That must have been something. They were following you around, huh?
Yeah, they came with us for a couple months this summer during our preparation phase and filmed a show called Truth in Motion. It was sponsored by Audi and gave a look into the U.S. ski team and our preparation for the Olympics and what the life, you know, day in the life of a U.S. ski team member was while being a competitive athlete and, you know, striving to be the best.
So tell me a little bit about what is the life in the having to be in the ski team.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. We have to do a lot of physical training and be strong and mentally prepared. We also have to make sure that our equipment's good. If you don't have good equipment, you can't compete at the top level. So there's always something to be done. It seems like every day I'm always doing something to better myself, my equipment, and to be at the top of my game when it counts the most.
Like what kind of things you have to do physically in order to do this? What kind of workouts or whatever, other than skiing itself?
Yeah, we lift a lot of weights, like Olympic lifting, you know, squats, power cleans, and a lot of really random stuff that you would never see like your normal trainer having you do in the gym, because skiing is such a unique movement and uses quite a lot of different muscles through the years of our sports science. They've developed some exercises to help, you know, prevent us from having, you know, back injuries or knee injuries and, you know, just little nagging stuff like that. But just, you know, a lot of time on bicycles, doing whatever cardiovascular work or, explosive training, jumping over hurdles, sprinting, you know, like dragging logs behind you, and, you know, all sorts of different stuff.
It sounds a little like, you know, somebody who's a football player, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we do quite a bit of training like football players do. But, you know, when it comes down to it, we have to be in good ski shape. So skiing is still the most important thing that we do.
How often do you work out?
In the summertime, it's 5 to 6 days a week for anywhere from, you know, 2 to 4 hours a day.
Mm-hmm. Do you have somebody who's like your trainer?
Here in Park City, Utah, the U.S. ski team just built a new building. It's called the Center of Excellence, and they have a sports science staff that's there full-time that helps us out, writes our programs for us, and if we have any questions, they're there. A lot of the times the athletes will team up together and, you know, we'll do the workouts as partners. As much as skiing is an individual sport, we do have a team aspect to it because it's almost impossible to do solely on your own.
And how bad, in terms of like the skis, like how do you know what kind of skis to get or whatever? I wouldn't know.
The ski companies only make certain skis. You know, and for my event, which is Giant Slalom, the companies, any company that you go to have skis that range from like 193 centimeters to like a 187 centimeter ski. So it's a pretty small margin, couple little differences in those lengths as
yeah.
far as like the radius and whatnot. But, you know, we do a lot of skiing and a lot of training, and we can test the skis. We have timers and whatnot. So we set up all that stuff and, you know, make it, I don't know, try and find the fastest thing possible for each individual person. But I'm contracted and a sponsored athlete by Fisher, so I can only use Fisher skis.
So you have a
yeah.
sponsor then.
Yeah, so
is
I have
it...
a sponsor. The other guys, you know, like Ted Ligety, he's an Olympic gold medalist. He skis on Rosignol,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it kind of varies. Each person skis on, you know, whatever company they think will work best for them, and then whatever equipment in that company.
So are you, if you, in other words, aside from the sponsor, you have to shell out your own money too?
I'm actually one of the few athletes that has to shell out my own money so that I can compete and train. Due to financial hard times, the U.S. ski team has lost quite a bit of funding. So they, for whatever reason, I was chosen as one of the athletes that did not receive financial assistance from the
uh-huh.
United States ski team. So I had to go out and get private sponsors to help me along the way.
And have you gotten them or enough or not yet?
I have some. I don't know if it's ever really enough. You know, traveling around the world and competing at the top level is
right.
tough and really expensive. And, it, you know, my sponsors do as good of a job as they can, but, you know, still a lot of it rests on my shoulders.
When is the game itself? When is the Olympics start, and at what point are you going to be in it?
The opening ceremonies are on the 12th,
mm-hmm.
and then my event is not until the 21st, and that'll
okay.
be the Giant Slalom. Yeah, so I'm here in Park City until the 17th, training and just preparing and making sure that my body is as good as it can be.
Okay, and now, do you have people, I mean, other than, I guess, your dad, that as far as skiing, who you, like, look up to, who you're, you know, you're, what's the word?
I think that there's, you know, there's always influential people. I wouldn't say that there was, like, one person in particular that I looked up to. You know, I really did enjoy skiing with my dad and growing up with him in the mountains, but... You know, there's a lot of people along the way, coaches and whatever, but I think the biggest thing was is that I just loved skiing, and that's all I've wanted to do since I was a little kid.
Mm.
So I've been fortunate enough to grow up in a place that supported that and, you know, just kind of kept pushing along the way and just wanted to be the best.
That's great. Well, me, I refuse to pay somebody to fall down their mountain. So I, you know,
yeah.
I don't bother with that.
Yeah. Well, at least you know they have chairlifts, so you can ride up and then fall
yeah.
down instead of hiking up and then falling down.
Yeah, well, the problem with the ski lifts is I'm afraid of heights. Really, really. Going up is okay. Coming down, and then when it, like, suddenly stops a minute, you know, then I'm, you know, going to panic. But so, and explain.
Well, you'll have to try a rope tow.
Yeah,
Or a Kama surface lift.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to fall.
Yeah, okay. One of these days, yeah. Now, explain like what you're going to be doing. You said the slalom, whatever. What is your
the giant slalom event?
Yeah, what is it? What is that exactly?
Giant slalom is medium speed as far as the alpine events are concerned. The downhill is the fastest, and they'll be doing somewhere around top speed of 90 miles an hour at the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
My event goes about anywhere from 40 to 60 miles an hour, and you're making pretty tight turns around what we call gates.
Right.
And it's the fastest person from the start to the finish, two runs combined. So you have your first run and then the second run.
Right. Now, when I saw this thing on TV, it looked like that you have to touch these gates or lift the flags or something. Do you have to touch them, or you?
No, you don't have to touch them, but you're trying to go as fast as you can, and it's like a race car driver cutting off the line. Like if you see a race car come into a corner, they're always going to hug the white line on the inside as tight as they can.
Right.
And that's what we're doing. The gate is kind of an imaginary white line, and if you hit that, you can save, a couple inches every single turn going down the hill and just go that little bit straighter. And if, sometimes you can make up a couple tenths of a second.
Right. At what point did you get that you were going to be skiing in the Olympics, and what was your reaction?
It was the second week in January. We had a race. It got canceled, and going into that race, I was sitting as the second best American for the Olympic criteria, and it just. It kind of all came to light right then. Pretty excited about it. It was one of those things I've been working for a really long time. So it was nice to be rewarded with that satisfaction.
Just knowing that you're going to compete, huh?
Yeah, I mean, just knowing that they'll always be able to say that I was an Olympian. Of course, I want to go to the Olympics and not just be an Olympian. I want to go there and try
and get a medal.
I want to compete for a gold medal.
Oh, sure.
But, when it's all said and done, I'll be satisfied if I can, I get to the finish after my runs and know that I didn't hold anything back, that I skied with nothing. I left everything on that hill that day.
Right.
That's what's important to me, and if it's good enough for a medal, then that's great. If not, then I gave it everything I have, and it, there was too many other guys that are faster than me.
So if you win, are you gonna put a tattoo of the Olympic gold, the Olympic symbols on you?
I don't have any plans to get any Olympic ring tattoos or anything right now.
Okay.
Maybe sometime down the road.
Oh, okay. Because I saw a photo of you with all the tattoos.
Yeah, I've got a couple tattoos these days.
Couple?
Yeah.
Okay, that's one way to color your body, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
So you started, like you said, you started when you were two. And at what point did you, say, I think I want to do this? Well, I don't say for a living or something, professionally. How old were you when you said, this is really what I want to do?
I don't know. I started racing at about 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And and just, you know, it was something that I loved doing. I wanted to go to the mountain every day. I didn't, school wasn't my forte, but it's, when I was out on the mountain, I felt like I was at home, that's where I was at peace. And, you know, I started doing well in races when I was a young kid and, you know, looking up to certain athletes, you know, that were racing around the world and winning World Cups and whatnot. And it just looked like such a great lifestyle. You know, they get to travel around the world and you know, they call it the white circus.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And, you know, it's just, it's an opportunity and such a great life experience. You can't exchange it for anything else. And it's, you know, when I made the U.S. ski team at 18 years old, I knew immediately that this is what I wanted to do for the rest, you know, as long as I could.
How old are you?
I'm 28 now.
Okay.
You know, it's a little bit unrealistic that you can do it for the rest of your life, but,
yeah,
you know, I wanted to get as much out of it as I could.
Yeah, too bad that you didn't go on Bank of Hollywood and ask for money. Did you? Have you seen that show?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to check it out. It might be.
Yeah.
Might be my next phone call.
So now, when you say when you have to, you still have to like. Oh, by the way, I just want to let you know that Enid is listening in.
Oh, perfect.
And you know, but anyhow, so now, because since you have to like still use your own money, do you have like a full time job as well that you're dealing with?
No, I don't have a full time job. I've worked. I've done some coaching in the summer so that I can be on snow and train and coach. And but for the last 2 years, I've just had some really good sponsors that have made it possible so that I can still live and train and do what I need to do to qualify for the Olympics and try and go there and be the best that I can.
Okay. Well, it's too bad I didn't know before. Could have seen who I can get. I did a trip in Colorado, and you know, I got to talk to enough people. I'm like, I don't know. Is it too late to see if I can get another sponsor for you?
Yeah. I mean, it's never too late for sponsors to come in. You know, I'm always looking for new relationships and. Any way that I can promote myself and my sport for the future and get people interested in it.
Right. And the sponsors that you get, are they all sports related?
No, they're not. And out of industry sponsors are very important to all athletes. You know, there's guys out there right now that are sponsored by Target. You know, it's for a chain. You know, store like a Walmart or something like that. It's, you know, that they're very important for sports in general, and I think that the out of industry sponsors are what are keeping us going right now.
Okay, I'm gonna check a few places that I went to while in Colorado and see what I could do.
That'd be great.
Can't promise you anything, but I could make some phone calls.
Yeah.
So,
and if people want to try and keep up, they can go to my website, which is zman181.com, and I've got some T-shirts for sale on there, and I try and keep up with my blog as much as I can. It's a little bit difficult on the road at times, but just, you know, it's always a good way to keep up to beat on me.
So Zman what?
181.com.
Okay, I'll make sure, and I'll blog this for you too. How's that?
Great. That's awesome.
I'll put it on my blog that I talked to you tonight. So
perfect.
That's pretty cool. So what I go, you know, we'll I'll follow you, and and again, you said the 26th. Second is actually the first time.
The 21st is
the
my 21st. Event.
The 21st. Okay. Yes. So let me see. I might get something into the newspaper too. Who knows where you'll see this?
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Well, I'm about out of time here. I got to get going for a dinner date.
Okay.
But appreciate you having me on and catching up. And
great. Yes, and I'll as I said, I'll follow you.
Okay. Thanks, Molly. Have a good
night. Report it out there.
Okay.
Thank you. Have a great evening.
Yeah,
bye.
You too. Thanks.
Yeah, well, that was Jake Zemanski. Yes, we're going to have to follow him. So he'll be Vancouver. He'll start on the 21st, but I guess he'll be in the opening ceremonies, which is just fantastic. I hear you, by the way. I just thought I'd let you know that I just put you on the air. Oh, well. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, it's like I'm... how can I forget? My sponsor.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Yes, and you can get these wonderful brownies at brownies.com. And, I think you still have time that the Valentine brownies are on sale for $19.95. They're actually not brown. They're truffles, meaning they take these little brownies and they enrobe them in the dark chocolate as well. What a great Valentine gift, you know. I mean, people are getting boxes of chocolates and somebody to get this. They would love you. Let's see. I'm going to be off to Shreveport, Louisiana. And I'll be doing a show probably on Sunday there. I'm going there for Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is Mardi Gras. Mardi Gras is not only in New Orleans. There are other parts of Louisiana that have Mardi Gras, too. So we're going to do that, and I think we're going to visit some places in Shreveport. While we're down there, we're going to we'll probably watch the Super Bowl. And laugh at the commercials, and heavens knows what. I think I'm going to have, Melody is going to again co-host the show with me, Melody Schubert. That'll be pretty cool, because we'll just talk about everything we've done up until that point in Shreveport. You know me, I always like to play some sort of a song. I'm in the mood. Okay, I'm sorry. That was Esther. She's been very upset because she went to my blog site and my YouTube site and saw the video of Chef Skibitzky cutting up a chicken. And I didn't take her into the kitchen purposely because of that, you know. But No, she was in here, and she just ran out because, you know, she just wanted to make sure that I knew about it, that she was offended. I will bring her with me to Shreveport. Let's see if I have time for a little for a
are you ready for some football?
No, I don't have time. Oh, right. Oh, no, not ready for football yet, but however, I'm not sure if I talked about this on the show. Bank of Hollywood, that was when I was commenting about Bank of Hollywood. Three players from the New York Sharks were on the Bank of Hollywood, and they won $65,000 because at the end of June, the IWFL is going to be part of USA football that's going to the International Tackle Football Tournament. I guess it's, I'm not sure whether it's just women or they're just representing the women from the United States. But this is going to be taking place in Sweden. I'll have to call tourism and see if I can get my ass out there, and the rest of me as well. But I don't have really much time. I guess that's the end of trying to. Oh, but I do have. Wait, one, I got to get one more sponsor in here.
Thank you for calling JetBlue. May I help you?
My cousin was telling me you guys have extra leg room.
Uh huh. We have extra leg room as compared to a normal coach seat.
Okay. If I don't have an extra leg, can I use that room for something else?
No. No, that is not what the extra leg implies. We took out one whole row of seats, and that gave the rest of those rows a couple of extra inches of leg room.
Ah.
I understand what you mean. The words extra leg imply that, but it has nothing to do with having an extra leg.
I'm a pretty literal person.
Uh-huh. Well, that would be taking it very literally.
I guess a little too literally.
Okay. Is there anything else I can help you with?
I think that's it. You've been pretty helpful.
Thanks for calling JetBlue.
Dear traveler, stretch out. We now have the most legroom in coach. Visit us at JetBlue.com. Sincerely, JetBlue. Based on average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines.
Yeah, JetBlue. Well, I'm not taking JetBlue down to Shreveport. I don't always get the choice. Well, I'm going to kind of, well, it's not like I have a lot of time left. There's only 2 minutes left to the show anyway. So I'm going to leave you guys and have a great day, evening, or whatever you're having. And again, the Winter Olympics, tune in to see Jake Zemanski, the J-Man, as they call him. I'll talk with you, well, I guess I'll Sunday. All right, my cats say goodbye too.